welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is my co-host, Ron.
Hello.
And also with us, special guest, Craigor from Wreck My Podcast. Wreck My Codcast.
why don't you wreck his codpiece?
I'll be later. Hi, Craigor. How you doing, bud?
Wow. Oh, you know, quarantine's got me heavy, Doc.
Is there something wrong with the gravity over there?
Okay, you sound more like Morty instead of the Marty there.
Well, I mean, they're basically the same thing.
They are. It's based off of...
Oh, jeez.
But yes, so we are in quarantine. Well, I guess I should say I'm in quarantine because you two are still working.
Honestly, like, we're not going to mess around this podcast, but I will say it's been like, I feel lucky because I still go to work. You know, I'm still working at, like, all every day, my hours and stuff like that, still making money, get to see people and get out of the house. But like, I see all these people like, oh, you know, when they're not working and they're getting paid like $1,000 a week. And I'm like, I feel very blessed, but also like, come on, I would love just a week to get paid $1,000 and like be able to do everything. Like, I would totally just enjoy like a week to shut down. I've been like as busy as normal. I'm just like, ugh.
I'll say to be fair, by the time this episode is out and people listen to it, the world will be somewhat back to normal. So
I mean, like if you live in Florida, Orange County, apparently the beaches are back to normal anyway.
Well, I don't trust a lot of those news pictures anyway, so. Pretty sure they show the picture from
I have friends who live in the OC and like in other beach areas. The pictures are true.
Okay. That's fair. That's sad.
It's sad.
It's America.
America. There we go.
Okay. So we're not fooling around. We got to get through this stuff. Because Craigor's got a lot to do today.
Yes.
Today, you guys are joining me to read the Back to the Future comics. I think earlier on a live YouTube episode, I kind of called you guys out on Wreck My Podcast, and Craigor, you like said, "Hey, let's read it." I'm like, "Okay, let's read it." So here we go. It's Fruit of Our Labor.
You brought some like thoughts to my mind. I'm like, "Oh, I don't know how they met." Like, it was never really questioned. Like, I had no idea that Back to Future comics were a thing. And like, as you know, Back to Future is one of my top three favorite trilogies of all time.
It's a great trilogy. So there you go, kids. All you gotta do is suggest something, and then we will read it. Probably,
yes.
If it's, you know,
ish, maybe.
Yeah, it depends on the timeline. But yeah, so we're reading Back to Future issues 1-5, titled "Untold Tales and Alternate Timelines." They were published in 2015 through 2016 by IDW. The writers are Bob Gale, who co-wrote the movies. John Barber and Eric Burnham. And then we will get into the art, inks, and colors as we go through, because this first five issues are more of an anthology. Well, the first four are more of an anthology. And so they have different artists and everything on them. So let's go ahead and hop into this first issue of this. And this beginning half is when Marty met Emmett. And it
Great
was done. It was done. The art was done by Brett Schoonover. Schoonover. There we go. Inks by David Witt and colors by Kelly Fitzpatrick. I know words.
Sure, you yeah. buddy.
So this whole anthology comic, it basically picks up right where we left off in Back to the Future when Marty left and Doc saved Clara. And then so it jumps forward a couple years.
I'm assuming it jumped forward a couple of years unless she popped those kids out whole, you know,
within like a day. Yeah, you know.
Eight to 10-year-olds or something like that.
Things look so much simpler in the past, am I right?
The old West, 1985. Yeah, they don't give a date. My assumption is it's probably somewhere in the 1890s because his kids, Jules and Vern, are, I would say, 8 and 6, roughly. Because I think by the time they come back in the end of 3, they're like either like 11 and 9 or 10 and 8. I don't know. They're a little older. And
yeah,
you can also tell by their some of their, well, one, by the status of the train in the background of Doc building it, how long it's taking. And I don't think that's going to be done within a couple years.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it took him like 3 years to build the time machine out of DeLorean, and he's building this train from scrap. So, yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. But so we got the boys coming in as Doc is working on parts of the train, and he starts to tell them a story of how he met Marty McFly. And it is Marty being, it's like 1982, and Marty is just being lonely, I guess.
He's out of his garage jamming.
By himself.
Hey, you got to practice somewhere.
Hey, sure. Joke day. That's a Joe Cuba special right there. Just hanging out, jamming, man.
That's fair. But then we have Needles. I don't know if you guys remember who Needles is. Pretty is. Sure.
Never been there. They're good things, though.
It's funny because I'm pretty sure that was, I think it was Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers that played them in the show, in the movie.
Oh yeah! So it's, how did I never make that correlation?
Really?
Holy cow!
I mean, I did.
That's because he looks so much different now. Like he's a little bit heavier in the face. Like he looks so skinny in those movies. I never put those together. Like I can just picture it now. Wow.
Yeah. Well, he's also only in it in the middle of 2 and at the end of 3. Like he doesn't show up all the time, but. Yeah, no, that's so we have Needles coming here and bugging Marty, saying he wants his interocitor tube from his subwoofer.
Yeah, his amp.
I don't know music stuff. I should have Joe on here or Cam.
There you go. I also like how they give a background about like. Doc's childhood, and, like the house burning down, all this stuff like that.
Yeah, because I never actually realized, and again, I literally just watched all 3 movies over this weekend. They never bring up his house burning down ever, so
no.
This is new to me, but it does make
sense.
But
I will say the one thing that I didn't know that you just said how one of the writers of the movies helped in the writing of this. So, like, that makes that, that as a fan makes me just like totally like a lot easier to ingest all of this. It's like, oh, someone who created these other things is creating this. So it makes it easier. Like, it is his vision for it. And I'm totally cool with it. So,
yeah, it flows like he's keeping the timeline. And I'm using timeline here relative because time travel, but he's trying to keep the timeline events coherent.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is nice. Yeah, so after it gets broken, Marty goes to try and find a new interocitor tube. There we go. Because Needles wants it and he's gonna beat up Marty if he doesn't get it. Also, Needles took his guitar because bullies. And he finds out that Doc Brown has like ordered all of them out of the music shop. So Marty is going to go over to his place and, you know, try and get a tube or two. I will give this whole like code to get into his place was kind of like. Now Ron and I both play Legend of Zelda. We both love puzzles. How the hell was this a puzzle? Like, I don't get it.
What do you mean? He had the electric warning. Clearly, you are not 1-2-4C that. And then he's like, huh? 1-2-4C? And he types it in.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't, like, okay, how would you,
That was a bit.
It was a stretch.
It's a little bit of a stretch, but like, I don't know. I'm someone who can very much shut off my logic when I want to, when it comes to movies, just like accept it for what it is and try and enjoy their creative purposes. Cause I don't have a mufa in film.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I still enjoyed it. It was just like that. Just for me, that was a stretch, not too far, but it just seemed very convenient, I guess.
Yeah.
And then almost as convenient as the key being hide behind the no entry sign.
Yep. The no entry spelled N or K N O W instead of N N O. So
oh, yeah, it was no.
Hey, entry. Maybe he had to leave really mediocre, easy shit so Marty would understand it.
Well, so anybody, like,
yeah, well, not anybody, obviously, but
I think it didn't. That's not necessarily just to test your, like intellectual knowledge, but your like, your how your mind works the way his does. It's not so much intellectualness. It's more like if your mind can go the way that he wants it to go. So that makes more sense.
Yeah, Doc Brown has proven that he's always thinking. What, and especially in the movies, he says fourth dimensionally, thinking ahead. So he's always putting more thought into it than he probably should. So yeah, we give through a series of events, Doc reveal, he says that he put those tests there to try and get a new intern. Marty's like, yeah, I'm here for the internship. Yes, definitely. I'm not Doc. I'm here. I was here to steal this. And Doc's like, well, to be honest, there was no internship, but I appreciate you being honest with me. So I'm going to be honest with you. Oh yeah, you can. But if you want to come here and hang out and basically be my intern, you're more than welcome to.
Well, he said he had a job for him and he'd pay him for it.
Yeah. Yes. And then Marty's like, oh, cool. I mean, as long as I can get out of the house and get away from bullies. And so about those tubes, and Doc's like, yeah, they're out in the trash. I just need the box for something. And
the Marty's box like, was the right size for something that he had to store in it.
So I do like how Marty grabs a tube, goes, hands it to Needles. And he's like, yeah, hey, I got these from Dr. Brown. And Needles is like, wait, the crazy radioactive guy, as he's holding it with his fingers out. But yeah, that's how Marty met Emmett. And that was a cool little fun story of the first half of this book. And then, of course, as he's telling the kids, I think Vern is asleep. So, because he's a kid hearing a story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's just narrow that down to just kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know adults that fall asleep during stories, too. So
that's fair, too. Okay. So we go to the second half of the story. Looking for a few good scientists. The art was done by Dan Schoening and colors by Luis Antonio Delgado. And this one is basically, we see Doc back in the 40s when he was teaching at, was that Caltech?
Before he had white hair.
Yes, he actually had brown hair. And he notices that a lot of his fellow colleagues in the science industry are being not shipped out, but
they're being pulled over to the Manhattan Project.
Yes. And he wants to know why he wasn't approached for it. So he's talking to, what's his guy's name? Robert, I'm assuming this is the dean of the college. I could be wrong. Sounds about right. And so he's just like, well, I should be on this project. I'm way better than half of these other guys anyway. So you need to let me talk to these guys. And sure enough, the dean's like, all right, sure, I'll get in contact with them. But I thought that you're what?
Said something about his apartment being in shambles or like in disarray.
So the only reason why he didn't give Emmett a chance was because he thought
he was too disorganized.
Yeah. But turns out,
which can be understandable.
Well, and then especially with the scientists like that where everything is in shambles. And especially coming from the show, like the first time you meet Doc Brown in the, well, the first time you meet him in the 50s, he's got that giant thing on his head, like the mind reader.
The mind reader, yeah.
So he's already like weird. Yeah. You meet him, you see his lab in the 80s when we first open up the movie, and it's things everywhere. His Rube Goldberg designed mechanism is just going off, burning his toast, burning his eggs,
feeding the dog,
putting dog food down over and over again. So he's very eccentric.
Yeah.
So he decides that he's going to use his landlord's house to meet this general and this other, colonel, maybe? Yeah. because it's a little more organized. Well, they kind of saw through that. And so when, after the quote-unquote interview, they show up at his actual lab, which is disorganized like a lab should be. And
not like a lab should be. A lab should be organized so you don't have kind of mistakes that always happen.
Well, but his lab is disorganized, and that's why everything is perfect for him. I like how I had to check that out. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, they offer him the job. They want him to come work on the Manhattan Project. So we see him.
Yeah.
Quick
side note, like this artist, I was gonna say, yeah, that is also a little weird, but this is my favorite art style of all the comics so far.
I agree.
This one is the one I like the most.
Because I actually like the next one in issue two, but we'll get there here in a second. I did like this one. This one was it fit for the story that they told in this little blurb. So. But yeah, we see the beginnings of him working with the government and having abilities to find the things he needs that he'll need in the future. I'll put it that way. And that's how we will end this first issue.
Thank you for listening to Comic Book Rundown. If you enjoyed listening to Kregger, please check out the Wreck My Podcast on all major podcasting apps. You can also find them on Twitter and Instagram at Wreck My Podcast. And as always, you can find us on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more to this Back to the Future story.